Today we are honored to have with us Rabbi Michael Zilberman presenting our Machshavos here. So Rabbi Zilberman serves on the Rabbi Isaac O'Connor Theological Seminary, the Reitz faculty. He's the assistant bochein. He's the coordinator of the presidential BKS program. He's assistant to the director of the undergraduate Mass Medium Honors program at Yeshiva University. He also functions as the assistant director / Gittin coordinator of the Beit Din of America, the Gerut coordinator of the Rabbinical Council of America, the RCA, and the Beit Din of America. Okay, his background is he studied in Kambayavna. He learned that at Reitz, at Yeshiva University, he's Yadin. He was a Wexner Kollel Elyon scholar, and we are very, very honored to have him talk today about one of his areas of great expertise. He published a sefer and includes material on this. So without further ado, Kvod HaRav, Michael Zilberman.
Thank you, Dr. Feit. It's an honor to be with you this morning. This looks like an amazing program that I understand has just started recently. I see a number of familiar faces, other less familiar faces, but I'm very honored to have the opportunity to share some words of Torah with you. I understand this is going to be a four-part series, Monday, Wednesday. What we cover are certain aspects of personal status determinations, which are things that come up in the course of our work at the Beis Din. The most primary personal status determination if someone comes and wants to get married is to determine whether they are Jewish. And one of the jobs of the Beis Din is to assist people in making such determinations of Jewishness. Often, this comes up in the context of wanting to get married in Eretz Yisrael. The Israeli Rabbanut insists that anyone who comes to get married there provide proof of Jewishness in some formal way. Now, most of us understand that there are basically two paths towards Jewishness. A person can be born to a Jewish mother, or a person can convert. The focus of our presentation will be on the former. We're not going to talk about Geirus conversion today. That's a whole different topic for another time. But we'll focus on how to determine and prove Jewishness. Just a caveat, when we say that a person born to a Jewish mother is a Jew, that is generally true, but there is a minority opinion that at least is worth noting, found in no less an authority than Rashi and Kedushin, Ayin Gimel, one day or one opinion in Tosfos, that the product of a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father still requires some form of conversion. What exactly that means is not our focus today, but there is such an opinion out there that at least a pro forma act of conversion would be required for a non-Jewish father. We generally do not accept this halacha, even though there are significant authorities that do have such an opinion. The Piskei Tshuva in Evin Ezer, the beginning of Siman Dalet, quotes the Nesivos, who assumes that way, and other poskim as well. But again, that's not the general orientation that we have. What we'll focus on this morning is what proof is necessary to establish Jewishness. When is a person taken at his or her word that he or she is indeed Jewish? The first source of the Mar Makomos that you have in front of you is the Rambam in Isui Bia Perek Yutes Halacha Yud Zayin. Source number one, Rambam Isui Bia Perek Yutes Halacha Yud Zayin. The Rambam there, based on a Gemara in Kedushin Ayin Vav, is discussing not necessarily proof of Jewishness, but establishing whether a person has any impediment to marriage. Is a person some kind of a puzzle? Is he perhaps a mamzer? Is he someone who is not, or is she someone who is not allowed to marry a kohen? Any other kind of impediment to marriage? The Rambam writes, we'll read a few lines together. Kol mishpachas b'cheskas kasheras. All families are presumed to be kosher, presumed to be eligible to marry. Umutra lisa mehen lechachila, and you're allowed to marry into such families without asking any questions. The alpha pikein, nevertheless, a caveat. Im ra'isa shte mishpachas shemiskara zu bezu tamid. If you see a family or two families that are constantly at loggerheads, that are fighting with each other. Or ra'isa mishpacha shehi balas matzav riva tamid, or family that's always internally feuding. Or ra'isa isha hu marba meriva imakol, a person who always starts a fight. The Azpan of Yoser, and he's especially brazen. Choshish and Lehen, we're concerned about their status. V'roi lisrachek mehen, and you should keep your distance. She'elu simane pasos, and these are signs of a psul. V'chein haposel asacheirim tamid, this is a Gemara that the Rambam is quoting to make this up. The chayin apostle as a chayim tamid. If someone always casts aspersions on others, kigon shenos in shemit b'mishpachos, he claims that certain families are puzzle, or bichidim, or certain individuals. The omer leim shehei mamzerim. He says they're mamzerim. Choshesh in lo shem mamzerhu. So call a posel b'mum a posel. If you're talking about someone else, look inside. Maybe it's you who's the problem. V'yam amr lehen shehem avadim, if they're servants, choshen lo shem evidu. Shekol a posel b'mum a posel. V'kol mi shiyesh ba aziz panim, if a person is brazen, or azari is cruel, son is abrius, he doesn't get along with people, v'ein o gomu lehem chesed, he doesn't act with kindness, choshen lo ba yosef shem givonihu. Maybe someone of question will yichus. Shesimana Yisrael Ha'uma Hakadosha Baishanim Rahmanim Gomle Chasadim Mishnah Perkei Avos, that we have certain traits of bashfulness, Rahmanus, and Gomle Chasadim. Rambam Yisurei Beir Test quoted Lalacha Evan Ezer Simon Beis Seif Beis. Now lest you think that this is some theoretical presentation that has no practical relevance, there is a fascinating psak issued by the Beit Din Rabbani, the Rabbinic Court in Haifa, just 2 months ago. The Rabbinic Courts in Eretz Yisrael often publish their psakim, they make them available to the public, they now have a website, so this is disseminated about a month ago, the psak was issued 2 months ago. Case number 1017683, for those of you counting at home. What was the issue? So the title is Birur Yahadut, Determination of Jewishness. What happened? Couple came to the Beis Din for a get. The husband claimed that the wife was mizana, she wasn't faithful. So the Beis Din asked the wife, is it true? And the husband said, so she didn't answer. And the husband said, well, I have a tape to prove it. So apparently he produced some kind of a recording of a television program. The details aren't really clear here. Television program where this woman was on this program and boasted of the fact that she was mizana with other people out of the context of marriage. So they presented this tape, and then she acknowledged that yes, indeed, she was not faithful to her husband. So, okay. This was in the context of, again, no one's asking who's Jewish. But the Beis Din says, well, we were so shocked by the fact that this woman brazenly admitted to such activities without any shame whatsoever, that we decided we should look into her Jewishness, because this is not the busha that we expect of a Jew. So they went back to the file. They looked at the file of this woman's mother, who was married in Eretz Yisrael however many decades earlier. And they decided upon further investigation that they realized the documents that had been submitted as part of the pre-marriage determination of Jewishness were forged documents. And they had some expert come in and determine that the documents were indeed forged. So they came to the conclusion that this woman actually was not Jewish, and they issued a psak that the woman is not Jewish, her children are not Jewish, they're not allowed to marry Jews, and they have to pay a fine of 25,000 shekel for fooling the Beis Din. Okay? There was a...
Who has to pay the fine? Her parents.
Well, no, the woman herself. So you'll say, well, it's really your parents' fault for fooling the Beis Din.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's. I'm just reading what it says. I don't know. But there was, yeah.
What do we do about a Rambam that seems to counter everything that we actually know in real life? We know that there are Jews who are
right.
People, Jews who are lousy people, Jews who are people with great gifts to fight.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't seem
so
to
all,
be true.
Well, all the Rambam is saying is that on some level there are certain traits that are endemic to the Jewish people, and if someone doesn't have that, you have to look into it a little bit further. Not to the extent that this Beis Din did. This is not the norm. But if fraud definitely exists. I think in Eretz Yisrael people are a little more attuned to how to forge documents than we are. There's another case in the Rabbinate a couple years ago where someone is trying to prove that they weren't a Kohen to be able to marry someone who was not Kohen eligible, and the Beis Din determined, or they discovered, that this person actually went and replaced the tombstone on the father's matseva to show that he wasn't really a Kohen. But anyway, is one more while we're on a roll with stories, just in the inyan, then we'll get back to the topic. Rabbi Zilberstein, in one of the svarim on the parsha, Leinu L'Shabeach, has the following story, that there was a Baal Tshuva who was basically 99% observant, but he just couldn't break the habit of smoking on Shabbos. So he was fully Shomer Shabbos, and whatever he did, whatever he tried doing, there was no way he somehow wasn't able to stop smoking on Shabbos. So apparently they brought this question to Rabbi Yashiv, if they have any ideas. And Rabbi Yashiv said, look into Yichas. So they looked into the Yichas, they actually determined that this guy wasn't even a Suffolk Jewish, he was 100% not Jewish. He thought, the mother, whatever. And then they brought him to do a proper Geirus, a proper Halachic conversion, and the next Shabbos he had no problem refraining from smoking. Okay, so let's get back to our topic. The Rambam that we started with is in the context of general psulim, general impediments to marriage, not necessarily determination of Jewishness per se. But this is reflected somewhat in a comment of Rashi as well. Rashi Kedushin Ayin Vav Amidbeis, the third Mar Makom. The Gemara there says, Lo huziru kishero sinase lepsulim. So this is in the context of Kohanim. There are certain exclusions, certain classes of people that a Kohen is not allowed to marry. We'll probably talk about this in one of the upcoming shiurim in the series. Rashi, their comments, Lahuzru kisheiros kohanos linase lipsulin. There's no impediment on a Kohen marrying someone who's potentially a pasul. Kegon chalali giyurei v'charurei. The kevan delo hikpida torah leim liyufsin. Rabbanan nami lo avid behumala letzuchinu bedika. So what Rashi's saying is, not that you're allowed, the Kohen's not allowed to marry a chalal or chalala.
Is the rule a Kohen or just a Bas Kohen? Because it's set up as a Bas Kohen.
Right, so a Bas Kohen can't marry a Chalal, a Kohen cannot marry a Chalala, but in the context of what Rashi is saying over here, is that
they can marry.
You have to read the whole Rashi. So the Gemara at face value is saying something other than what it really means, or at least that's what the Rashi is explaining over here. Lahuzuk Sheiros, the way Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to marry these people, it means that you don't have to do an investigation. That lo avu mailo zechuna bedika, afila machmas mzeiros ishisukos, eloki iskazaki surabe. You only need to investigate if there's a cheskas iser, if there's a presumption that there's a problem. But there's no requirement to investigate if you don't have a reglaim ludav, if you don't have a reason to believe that there is an impediment to marriage. The Rashi understands.
Because they're Kohanim, we assume they did the right thing.
Correct. So, absent any knowledge of a problem, you're allowed to assume that the problem doesn't exist. The Tor, Evan Ezer, Simon Beis, Sif Beis, quotes a Ramah. Not the Ramah, the Ramah, one of the Rishonim. Skip to the third liner. Psule Kal and Balisa Yisraelis Lo Shafkinan Adamai Siraya Shema Evadhu. So that statement of Lohuzuk Shemis Milinase Lipsulim, that's talking about Psule Kahuna, and that's what Rashi's talking. But in the context of other Psule Kal, like a Mamzer, a person needs to bring a raya that such an impediment does not exist. It means, they'll take a look at the Beis Shmuel's interpretation of the Ramah in source number 5, second, third, the underlying line on page 4. The Simon Akos Amavur, the Mechaber Nami Sfilei Misha E Mishpachto Yadua Lanu. So we're talking about someone whose identity we don't know. Someone from Mishracha Sheina Yadua, someone from a family whose identity we don't previously know about. So that's what this Ramah is talking about. That if you have someone from a family whose origins we don't know about, you have to be concerned that maybe this person is from questionable lineage. So when it comes to a chashash mamzerus, that maybe someone is ineligible to marry if he comes from a family whose origins we don't know, family that we don't know anything about one way or another, then you need to investigate to determine whether there's any chashash mamzerus. So the Rama assumes, that absent any knowledge about a family one way or another, you need to investigate to determine that there's no concern of mamzerus. And the Piskei Tshuva quotes those that argue whether this Rama is accepted l'alacha. Beis Shmuel assumes, Beis Shmuel is one of the primary super commentaries on Ebn Ezer. Beis Shmuel assumes that you need to be concerned. If you don't know anything about the family, maybe there's a chashash mamzerus, and other poskim argue. Yeah. They're not assuming. You have to investigate.
Right. But they're worried about a mamzer rather than anything else that might be less harmful than a mamzer.
Well, it'd be less harmful than a mamzer.
If you're not Jewish, that's better than being a mamzer because you can always be.
Right. So Jewish. Good. So that is true. So the context of this discussion, the Rishonim and Kedushin Ayin Vav, is presumably about people we know to be Jewish, but we know nothing more about them. As we have no concern that they're not Jewish. In a moment, we're going to talk about how we prove Jewishness. This is kind of, before we get to that stage, we're talking about people that we assume to be Jewish, but we know nothing more. So is there a concern, maybe there's another soul, maybe this is a soul mamzeris. That's the discussion there, that's the context of this Ramah, and that's the context of Ebn Ezra Simon Bey's Sifbeis. Very good. Okay. So, as we just pointed out, this discussion till now is not necessarily about proving Jewishness. We're talking about people who we perhaps know to be Jewish, but we know nothing else about them. Is there a necessity for an investigation to determine that there's no other personal status impediment to their marriage? Now, what about establishing Jewishness itself? We don't know someone's Jewish, someone claims to be Jewish, we have no other documentation, no other evidence. How do we deal with such a inquiry? So take a look at source number 6. Tosas Psachim Gimla Mebeis Dibur Maskel V'Ana. Gemara there in Psachim has a famous story of the non-Jew who would come to Yerushalayim every year to partake in the Korban Pesach, and he was very proud of himself, and once he struck up a conversation with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who realized that something was off, and he set up a trap to catch this non-Jew who was illicitly eating from the Korban Pesach. But Tosis is bothered by the fact that it sounds like no one asked any questions. The guy came to Yerushalayim every year, and no one seemed to have questioned his credentials before allowing him to partake in the Korban Pesach. Writes Tosos, Mikan Ein Raya, source number 6, Mikan Ein Raya, Shenamin L'chol Abalafaneinu, V'Omer Yisrael Ani. So, I would have said, Tosos says, I might have said, you see from this Gemara, that if a person claims to be Jewish, you don't have to ask any questions. Because after all, this guy came to Yerushalayim, ate from the Korban Pesach, no one questioned it. Tosfos says, not a right. You can't prove from here about Jewishness. Dishani hacha, derov Yisrael hayu. This is different, because in the case of the Korban Pesach, the rov, the majority of people there, were Jews. Yazlina basa ruben, you follow the majority. So either that means the majority of Jews, of people in Yerushalayim, or the majority of people that came to bring the Korban Pesach, whatever the class that we're looking at is, the majority, presumably the overwhelming vast majority of people in that class, were Jewish. Right? As far as we know. And you have the right to assume that this person was from the majority. But you can't prove from there that if someone comes and knocks on your door in medieval France and says he's Jewish, that he's necessarily Jewish.
What about the concept of Malo and Yosno here?
Yeah. Malin L'yuchsin al pi eid echad is not true by a person who has a cheskas nachri, which we're going to get to in a moment. That's what. Hold on for a moment. Good question, but we'll see. We have to flesh out the rest of this Tosos and the parallel Tosos, and then we'll come and answer your question. Tosos says, however, you do have a better raya from a Gemara in Yevamos. Take a look at source 7. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Misha Bava Amar Gerani, Yachol Nikablenu, person comes and he presents himself off the street and he says, I'm a ger, meaning I was born non-Jewish and I converted. Yachol Nikablenu, maybe we should accept him as a full-fledged Jew. Tamalomer itcha b'muchzach lecha. Nope. That there has to be a chazaka, there has to be a prior presumption of Jewishness. And then the Gemara has another line, which I think is not excerpted here, that a person comes and says, Niskayarti bein libein atzmi, I converted, but I have no proof of it. So the Gemara says that a person has no ne'emanus to apostle his children, because you can't believe someone to apostle someone else, but he does have the emanus to apostle himself. Meaning, if he doesn't have any credible evidence that he was properly megayer, then we don't accept him as Jewish. So take a look at the Tosfos in Yevamos, source 8. Om Rebbeinu Tam, didafka b'diyad inan dehava ovek achave meikara. When do we say that if a person presents himself as Jewish, as a convert, we do not automatically accept him, absent any evidence? That's where we knew him to previously be non-Jewish. He had a chazakah that he was non-Jewish. So he wants to come now and overturn that chazakah. We know him to be not Jewish. He wants us to prove otherwise. So then he has no ne'emanus without any proof. You can't believe him without any other supporting evidence. So Amar Ben Atam, didafka b'diyad ina dava avikachav meikara. That's where we don't believe him. Why? The law of the Yadinan. If a person is not known to be a non-Jew, we don't know anything about him. He comes off the street. Maybe he's Jewish, maybe he's not. We have no prior assumptions. Meheman, then he'd be believed to say he's Jewish. Migo di bayamar Yisrael ani. Because if he would have come and said, I'm Jewish, we believe him. The person is believed to say that he's Jewish. So migo, he could have said he's Jewish and we believe him. And how do we know that we believe him? Gemara Msachim. Kedemash Rebesh Mesachim Psachim. Kabehu Ovekachav and Davasalik Vachal Psachim Yushalayim. The Tosis is not only the Tosis in Psachim. According to the Tosis in Yevamos, you see from the Gemara Msachim that we do believe someone if he comes and says that he's Jewish, even absent any evidence. The Gemara in Yevamos, where we don't believe him, where he says he's a ger, that's talking about where we have no prior assumptions, that's talking about where we know him to be non-Jewish. If we know him to be previously non-Jewish, he's not believed to say he is Jewish. But if we know nothing, if we have no reason to believe one way or another, so if he comes and says he's Jewish, he's believed. If he comes and says that he's a ger, we believe him, because he could have just as well said he's Jewish, and if he would have said he's Jewish, we'd believe him as well. Yeah?
The question is, when you convert, as the ger said, that we're talking about here,
right?
It seems to me that you have to go to Benson, and go right. for a meal, the whole business.
Right.
You don't think they would give me a certificate that you can verify that I am
now lost in a fire?
Yeah, he didn't have it on him. He comes... Right, he comes from another country. He doesn't. Right, now, I can't. I can't tell you what kind of documentation they issued in the time of the Tanaim. Nowadays, we'd expect someone to produce a document, but maybe he lost a document and they didn't keep a copy.
The other thing that throw a monkey wrench into a lot of this, I think, is in the sector institution that sorry, Yosef.
Right.
When Ezra went back up, right. Who knows what with him. And they had so much sorrows, they found Yidden that were married to Goyim.
Right.
The famous story, which I never get over, Ula and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda comes up from Eretz Israel, I believe, in Ula in Babel.
Right.
And he sees that Rabbi Yehuda has a son that's not married. So he asks him, hey, what's going on here? You should be married by now. And he says, I'm looking for Yehuda, I can't find him. I don't know who to marry. And Ula answers this, like this, something to the effect, we don't know where we came from. And this is Ula telling Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
How do you know where you came from?
Right.
That's a powerful statement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, you start worrying about this here,
right.
Later.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to start us then.
Yeah, that's
going on today. That's
definitely true. So, definitely true. So, again, Tosa says, you see from the Gemara in Psachim, that if a person says, I'm a Jew, we do believe him. And if a person says, I'm a ger, we also believe him, because he could have just as well said he's a Jew. V'ein lomar, shani hasam, davus samchi aruban. Don't tell me, like Tosa says in Psachim, that the only reason they believe this guy who claimed to be Jewish to eat the Korban Pesach is because of the rov. Da samchi aruba, davi Yisrael. Because anytime someone comes and says they're Jewish, there's a rov. What's the rov? The rov habayim lefanenu b'toras yad, there's Israel. It's a different class of a rov. Not the rov of people in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Rov of the people that come and say that I'm Jewish are in fact Jewish. The Ritva adds an important caveat here, an additional reason. Source number 9. Look at the underlying part. Kol Shabba v'amar Yisrael ani oger ani neman. If anyone comes and says I'm Jewish or I'm a ger, he's believed. The Samchan Olav l'chol davar, and we rely on him to say that he's Jewish. De milsa David l'gluyehi v'lo meshaker, because the truth is going to come out. There'll be a yeshivas bezdin in Haifa 30 years later, and the bezdin will determine that the mother who claimed to be Jewish 30 years ago was lying. That the truth will come out at some point. And there's a principle in halacha, milsa David l'gluyehi, if something is going to come out, we ascribe a certain degree of na'amanus, of a believability to the person, because he's not going to want to get trapped in a lie. Okay. So how do we assume here l'halacha? Tosvos in Yevamos is telling us that anytime someone comes and says that they're Jewish, we believe that no questions asked. If someone comes and says he's a ger, as long as we don't know him to have been non-Jewish before, we also believe no questions asked. What do we assume l'halacha? Take a look at source number 10. This is in Hilchos Geirus, Yoredeya Reish Samaches Se'if Yud. Ovik Achavim O Avedas Kachavim Shabavi Amr Niskayarti B'Beis Dino Shalploni. If a non-Jew comes and says, I was Megayer in such and such a Bezdin, Karai, Enonam and Lava Bakala Sheyavi Edim. So then he's not believed, that's the Gemara, until he can prove it. If we see that they're living an observant lifestyle, they're integrated into the Jewish community, into the frum community, so that creates a certain chazaka, even absent testimony, that they are Jewish. The Alpha Pikain, even though there's a certain chazaka in Bolus Arbi Yisrael, Emasino Sam Achiyavu Edim. But to get married to a Jew, you have to prove it, you have to bring Edim, oh, Achiyit Belubafnein, or do another Geirus, because there's a chazaka that they're not Jewish. Aval, Mishabavi Amrshu Akum the Niskai Bevezdin, but if someone comes and says he was not Jewish before, and he was Megayer, meaning we have no reason to believe that he wasn't Jewish, but he volunteered the information on his own. Neman, he has Nemanus, Shapesha Asr Upesha Hitter, because absent any knowledge, we would have assumed he's Jewish anyway. So he's telling us he wasn't Jewish to begin with, that's a strike against him. In the same breath, he tells us that now he is Jewish, so we're no worse off than when we started.
How does the second the first half said he was a guy who said
right.
He converted.
If he would have come and said nothing, we'd assume him to be Jewish.
The first half says he was a guy who
right.
Said he's Gaiarity.
Right.
How is that different than the second half? Right. Says I was a guy and I converted.
Right.
This Gaiarity means, implies that I was once a guy. So
right.
The opening line.
Right.
I was not Jewish
and I converted.
And then the second half is saying,
good. So in the first case,
because he specified it then.
Right, in the first case, right, there's a mashmasa in the Gemara that with more information he has more potential.
Good.
Okay, one second.
Good.
Good. Okay,
we're not
going to
believe him.
Or
is the first one
you said
general Bay in the last one?
Good. The first case, correct. The first case is where we know before anything happened that he's not Jewish. We know him to be an Akum, and he comes and says, I was Megayer. In the second case, we don't know anything. The guy could have just as well been Jewish. Thank you. Okay? The first case, we know the guy to be non-Jewish. He comes and says, I converted. He's not believed. Ashi Avi Edim. And the second case, we know nothing. So then we have a Pesha Asar. Right. He says himself that he wasn't Jewish and he converted. Fine. However, because of a Rambam, B'medvar mamurim be'aretz Yisrael b'osan hayamim. What are we talking about? We're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Shechefkas hakol sham bechefkas Yisrael. Aval b'chutz la'aretz tzarech lahavi raya v'acher kach yisi Yisraelis shemala asu b'yufsin. So technically speaking, if a person comes and says that you have a Pesha Aser Pesha Hidra case, that I was not Jewish and I converted, we believe him. So that, the Rambam says, was true in Eretz Yisrael. But in Chutz La'aretz, Mal Aser B'Yosin, even though technically speaking, there's no need for any further evidence, but when it comes to marrying Jewishly, we want to have a higher threshold of evidence, and there we require Eidus, or further testimony to establish that there was a Geirus. Says the Shach, one second, says the Shach there in Sibir Reis HaMaches of Katan Kaf Aleph, quoting from the Bach, that maybe even the Rambam agrees that if you have Orchim, you have guests who come B'cheskes Yisraelim, where the presumption is that they were Jewish. So it's not in the Marmakomos. So sorry. So we believe you if you have guests that come, people from out of town. They come and say that they're Jewish and they're Becheskes Yisraelim. So even if we're in a society where the rove are non-Jews, we can still rely on their chazaka. Shekol mishpachos Becheskos Kisheirosei. So when it comes to Geirus, that's what the Rambam says, Ma'alos of Yosin. If the guy comes and says he was Megayer, so then we require a higher threshold of evidence. But if someone comes and says that he's Jewish, so even a chutzlar, which we're over not Jewish, you can rely on the presumption that they are Jewish. There's a famous line of Reb Chaim V'Lozhner in his Tshuva, Schud HaMeshulash, which the Chazanish has in source number 12 here. The Chazanish amends this a little bit. He writes, the Vagrach of Chaim V'Lozhner Kasav, Dim Eino Makir Sfasa Yehudis, if a person comes in and doesn't speak Yiddish, Af She'omer Shu Yisrael, even though he claims to be Jewish, Eino Naman, you can't believe him. The Ein Kan Rova Ban Lefaneinu B'Torah Yadis Yisrael. Tosfos says that most people who come, Tosfos and Yavamas, most people who come and claim that they're Jewish, are Jewish, so you have the right to rely on the Rov. That's only if they speak Yiddish. But if they don't speak Yiddish, how can you claim to be Jewish? You don't even have a Migo there. The Ger comes, he doesn't speak Yiddish. So what, Migo, he could have said he's Jewish, but he doesn't speak Yiddish. You wouldn't believe him even if he said he was Jewish. Says the Chazanish, V'nira, Dahachi Kimle Lamaran, B'makom Hanidon. Yeah, Reb Chaim V'Lozhner is writing in V'Lozhner in the early 1800s. Aval, Iafshar, Lichlo, Klalabazab, but this isn't a Lachom Moshe Sinai, that in all generations, if a person doesn't speak Yiddish, he's not Jewish. The Harbe Yehudim, Shechichim, B'Safa Chayrasar, many Jews that speak other languages. Emhein Dechidim, Nishmane Rabim, Rava Ban Matar Yadis, Yisrael Michaloshon. So nowadays, what might have been true for Chaim V'Lozhner is not true anymore. And even if a person doesn't speak Yiddish, it doesn't necessarily impugn his Cheskas Kashrus. Yeah?
I want to go back to Minsel de Avido and Leyumide. That's what.
Yeah.
Why is it so strong? We know that down the line.
Right.
The case in Haifa plus many more.
Right.
Many more.
Right.
So why is that a svara that is because people do lie,
that is true. People probably lie more now than they used to. And that goes back to a general question when it comes to are certain chazakos, are certain presumptions immutable, or do they change with society? That's a much broader discussion for a different time. Now, whether that point of the Ritva is accepted l'alacha on its own is questionable, but it's definitely another factor that goes into the mix in making these analyses. Okay, we're nearing the end of our time. Let's just try to wrap up. Do I have another 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, good. So let's try to bring this a little bit l'maisa. So what we've seen so far, at least in the theory of halacha, is that based on Tosfos in Yevamos, even though Tosfos in Pesachim seems to have a different take, Tosfos in Yavama seems to say pretty clearly that if a person comes and says that he's Jewish, we have no knowledge one way or another, we believe him. The Ritva says maybe that's based on Milsa David Lugluya, so you want to argue that that may be a less svara nowadays. Fine. Nevertheless, if you take a look at the next page of the Marmar Kamos, there's a important line in the Berhetiv. Berhetiv on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer, source 11, Berhetiv on Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer, Simon Beis, Sifkatan, Dalet. The end of the first line. Kakasa Beis Hillel. Misha Bam the Eretz Acheres. A person comes from a foreign land. Hein Ish, O Isha, O Bachar, Besula, O Alman, Almana, young or old, rich or poor, man or woman, Sarach Raya Shehu Yisrael. He has to prove actively that he's Jewish. The Avshem is Nagim Kedas Yisrael, even if he's living as a Jew. Umidabrim Bilshoneinu, even if he speaks Yiddish. The Yodim Bechol Tuv HaYehudim, he knows everything about Jews. Afalpikin Tzrichin Raya. Nevertheless, you require some kind of proof. V'chein Hu Tarkanas Medinas Lita. So this was the takana in Litta. She'ein l'sadr shum kiddushin, ela imkein she'esh l'raya shehu Yisrael u'be'ez mishpacha. So there's a takana in Litta going back at least 300 years, that if someone comes from a foreign land, we don't know who he is, even though the Ikar Adin in principle, you have every right to believe that the person is Jewish, but there's a takana not to rely on their own representations. Presumably, must have been cases where people were misled. And there's a takana not to rely on those representations, even if, in principle, they could be relied upon. And in practice, this is basically the policy of the state of Israel. Now, if someone wants to come and get married in Israel, so they need to bring proactive proof of Jewishness.
Does the second part of the Berhetiv negate what the first part said? The first part said that just showing that they're Jewish isn't enough. They
right.
actually have to show evidence.
Right.
And then the Yidden and Litta
yeah.
said evidence that they have to demonstrate Jewishness.
That's the same thing. That they have to prove that they're Jewish. The Beis Hillel says this in theory.
Demonstrating Jewishness is the same thing as the.
You have to bring a right. You have to bring proof that they're Jewish. Right. That's the same thing. They have to bring proof that they're Jewish. Yeah. You know. Let's. With your permission, let's just try to get to the end. And if there's time for questions, we'll take questions. Is that okay? Okay. Otherwise, we're not going to finish. There's a very beautiful sefer came out a few years ago called Mishnah Sager, written by Rav Moshe Klein, the son of the late Rabbi Menashe Klein. Wonderful sefer on Hilchos Gerus, but he talks about other related issues also. So he raises the following question that's been discussed by Poskim in the last generation, but he frames it in the context of our discussion. When it came to the wave of Russian immigration, where both in America to a lesser extent and a greater extent in Israel, everyone was confronted with having to prove Jewishness of a whole mass of people coming from another country, sometimes with scant proof of Jewishness, and whatever the statistics are, somewhere in the at least 30% range of people who moved to Israel from the former Soviet Union were definitely not Jewish. So what kind of evidence is necessary in that case? Can you rely on any of the principles in halacha that we just articulated? So he just points out that forget about the takanas litta. If you're operating with takanas litta, that everyone needs to prove Jewishness to get married, so that's true across the board. But even if we're going to go back on the Ikar Adin level, what's true in principle, that may not necessarily be as relevant when it comes to the Russians. Number one, you have to figure out, is it really a rove of those people that were in fact Jewish, whatever those numbers are? So if it's 30%, it's not a rove, but it's definitely a significant miyut. So can you necessarily assume that if someone is coming from the former Soviet Union to Israel in the 1990s, that they were from a class of people where the rove were Jewish? Number two, a lot of what the undercurrent in these presentations in the Rishonim, why a person is believed to come and say that he's Jewish, is because until recently, a person would have to be crazy to want to be Jewish. If someone crazy to want to be Jewish. you know, given the persecutions that we faced over millennia, if someone comes and says that they're Jewish, presumably they very likely were, because why would they indicate so otherwise? And back to your point there of Milsa Davidi Lagluye. So it's a harder argument to say that nowadays these people coming from Russia, it's Milsa Davidi Lagluye, you're going to find out if they're really Jewish or not. There's no documentation, they're not going to find the documents. So that notion of Milsa Davidi Lagluye, that the truth is going to get out, is a lot more difficult to rely on. Yeah.
How do you apply that principle or that knowledge to the people from Ethiopia?
Ethiopia is a whole other parsha, whether...
A lot of them were not accepted by the state of Israel.
Correct, the Rav Avadia's Tshuva, that's... there's a whole literature about that, but that's really a different question as to whether they were... You know, we know who they are. The question is, were they Jewish, and how do we prove Jewishness going back? There's a self-contained community, and the question is, what's the status of that community? It's a different question, because we know everything there is to know about those people. And the question is, are they Jewish going back even to begin with? But that was there's a literature about that. Maybe we can touch that on that at a different time. So as a practical matter, nowadays they're definitely in the state of Israel, and here as well. If someone comes from another country, from a background where there's no knowledge of Judaism, so some kind of investigation is usually advisable in order to determine Jewishness. How do we do that? What do we look for? So there's a whole range of documentation and anecdotal evidence and representations that a Besnik could look at to assist in determining Jewishness, looking at cemetery records, immigration records, census records. The U.S. Census is... The 1940 census does not have this anymore, but 1930 and back, I believe, has the primary language spoken at home. So if you have someone, Ancestry.com is a phenomenal resource, we use it all the time. If you see someone who in 1910 on the Lower East Side was speaking Yiddish, so that's the kind of person that Chaim Volozhin would have said is probably Jewish. So we don't necessarily rely on census records alone, but that's a significant piece in the puzzle. If you have someone who in 1910, 1920 is speaking Yiddish on the Lower East Side, whose name is Goldberg or Schwartz or Cohn, so that's usually a pretty good indication that they probably were Jewish. Tzitz Eliezer has the following Shaila. Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek, Zion, Simon Mem. He was asked about the believability of an adoption agency to certify the Jewishness of one of their clients. So he's talking about an adoption agency which was government operated, where there is a certain believability because of the notion of Umad Lamar Amnase, that a professional is not going to compromise their professional reputation by lying. So if a governmental agency represents someone to be Jewish, that has a certain degree of significance in halacha. In America, we don't have such governmental agencies, and issues of adoption, particularly close adoption, are much more complicated. I'll just conclude with one fascinating case we dealt with a few years ago, the Beis Din, which... three more minutes? Two? Okay. Where there is a woman who came to us in her 50s who had just discovered that she had been adopted from birth, was unaware of that fact, already had kids in Shiduchim, and an observant woman, so... Absent any knowledge as to whether she was Jewish or not, we could have done a Gir L'Chumra, we could have just done a Geirus in case, but the problem was she was part of the Syrian community, and the Syrian community wouldn't accept Geirus. And to boot, she had a kid, her son, who was going out seriously with a daughter was going out seriously with a Kohen, so had we been Megayer the daughter, that Shidduch would have been off as well. So it was a closed adoption. It was hard to get any information. But one of the relatives of this person did some amount of investigation and determined, was able to find out the location where this person in question was born, and was able to determine that there's only one person born in that town on that day. And someone was able to get from the town records the identity of that person. So he traced down this birth mother, not indicating why he was looking for her. And then he discovered that the name of the identity of the birth mother was able to prove the Jewishness of the birth mother to us at the Beis Din. We did a DNA test with the relative of the birth mother and the woman in question. We're able to determine the match over there, and that basis certified the Jewishness of the mother. So to conclude in 30 seconds, sorry for going over, there is a difference between what is true in principle in terms of believability to say that someone is Jewish, and the general practice, which is mandated because of the society we live in and the many layers of questions that we may have. And in practice, we do accept to some degree the notion of takanas lita, that we do require a higher level of proof. Got it.